And the young ones can go downstairs with Steve's wife, Allison.
Yeah. Would you like to go?
See, they're going to stand, sit there and listen to an old man preach, one or the other. Well, back to the book of Psalm 47 tonight, as we continue on. Well, who knows what they'll do down there. Well, we always look forward to our summer times when all our kids are back.
Amen.
Get them all back here and get them back from school. It's nice to see them grow up. It's nice to see them go off to school, but it's nice to see them all come back home again. And it's been a long time since I've been there. So I can't even remember that far back. Anyway, I was just thinking a couple of things when I was sitting here now. I can't remember. Oh, well. Psalm 47. It's part two and the message on keeping one's progress. I changed it a little bit because the first title didn't really make as much sense as this other one does as far as making progress. And don't you just hate it when you take one step forward and you end up finding yourself taking two steps backwards? A lot of times that's the Christian life. We take one step forward, we take two steps backwards. And it should be two steps forward, maybe one backwards. Or none backwards, it'd even be better yet when it comes right down to it. Well, again, we said that in Psalm 47, we're not exactly sure who the author of this is necessarily. But it is about finding a way in which we can keep the ground that we gain. And it might surprise you, the method that the psalmist who wrote this would encourage us to be able to keep the ground, to maintain the ground that we have just gained in our spiritual growth. So as I stated last week, this psalm is about holding on to our gains in our spiritual life rather than losing ground. And one would liken this to maybe a tug of war. And when one side is making gains, they hate to lose ground. And as a result, they dig in their heels and they just train a whole lot harder because they don't want to lose any ground. I know that sometimes when Peg and I are in the living room there and she's knitting and she's doing all these baby afghans, and I don't know if she's pretending something with our 16 grandkids, or I have no idea what the story is there, but maybe she's going to put them all in store and give them out when each one of our grandchildren, and maybe even our greats someday. I don't know if we ever live long enough to see them grow up. But anyway, you know, she'll knit them, and a big section of it's all done there. Next thing I say, have you ever knitted? You know what I'm talking about there. I think to myself, what happened? She said, well, I made a mistake way back here. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my, I think I'll just toss it all aside. I would have said, I am not going back, and we're not going to redo that all over again. So I'm hoping that your life is not like that knitting, that you actually have to unravel some things in order to get some things, go back and get things started from the beginning along the way. But we're in a very serious tug of war between our spirit and our flesh. And our flesh loves the world, amen? Our flesh truly loves the world. It loves the food of this world. It loves the entertainment. It loves our sleep. It loves our rest. It loves a lot of things. But one of the things that our flesh really doesn't like too much is spiritual things. Doesn't like a lot of that. And so, as we look at that here tonight, our flesh loves the world and all that is in the world. And our spirit's desire is towards all things God. Galatians chapter 5, we can just hold your finger there and Psalm will be back there. But in Galatians chapter 5, looking at verses 16 through 18. Whoops, went too far. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and there is our spiritual warfare. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. He lists all those off, and then the fruits of the Spirit as well, a little bit later on. But we need to understand that we're in a spiritual warfare, and as we often have said there, that it looked like the Ukrainians were making some ground, and now the Russian troops have brought in and mustered in another umpteen thousand troops to be able to regain what they have lost in Ukraine, in the Donbas section anyway. We are in a very serious spiritual warfare. One that can either ruin our Christian lives, destroy our Christian marriages, and destroy our Christian homes as well. Our churches can be ruined along the way. And so the Apostle Paul, we said, list some of the problematic areas of the flesh, just some of those, because there's so many more. Some of those are outgrowths of what he's listed here, and others are, well, they're just as important as well. But in verses 22 through 23 is evidence of the Holy Spirit's work in us, and that's what God wants to see, and that's what we would desire to see. That is the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, rather, not the fruits, but the fruit of the Spirit, that he is actually able to work and to accomplish things in us. Now, there is, in this generation, a very similar pattern as we find recorded in the Old Testament concerning the nation of Israel. Israel was warned all the way from Deuteronomy chapters 28, 29, and 30. They were warned that if they, well, there was a kind of a conditional covenant. God started out those chapters with an if you will do this, then I am going to pour out all these blessings. And he names all the areas that he wants to bless them in. And then he goes a little bit later on, I think about Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 15 or so. But he said, but if you don't do these things, then he said, curse. So it's blessings and curses. Blessings in the first portion of those chapters, and then it's curses in the remainder of those things there. And of course, what does Israel do? They go in the land there, and it didn't take them very long before it was all downhill for quite a while. And we find that happening a lot of times in this generation among Christians today who know better, but they're becoming very worldly, they're becoming very carnal. Some of our churches are also becoming very carnal as well. But so we must make progress. We must gain new territory, new ground and growth each and every day. Amen? You come out of your devotional closet, you had your time in the Word of God, you've had some time with prayer with God, then you should come out of there with something new that you can challenge you for the day. If we just kind of read it for the reading's sake, more than likely you're not going to get a whole lot out of it. And you're going to go through the day just as you did the day before. Well, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask. Say, Lord, I have no idea what this day holds. Lord, I need something new. I need something fresh. I don't want to try to run Tuesday on Monday's meal, all right? Spiritual meal. So, Lord, give me something new that's going to challenge me and encourage me somewhere throughout this day. Now, we want to gain some ground. We don't want to either hold or just go stay old, stagnant, or backwards, if you will. And so, making progress. I believe God wants us to make progress. And if you're a true child of God, you're going to want to make progress as well. So once we gain new ground in spiritual growth, we need to learn how to keep it secure. Amen? That's how to, now when you go home at nighttime and it's nighttime, all the kids are snugly tucked in bed and mom and dad are getting ready to go to bed, do you not check your doors? You make sure your doors are all locked? Amen? Now, that's because you want to be secure. Well, when we make new gains, let's make sure that we secure them. And we're going to learn some things that we already started last week. We're going to learn some things here that would help us to secure those. So no one likes to take one step forward and then take two steps backwards. And so the first step in keeping the ground that we have gained, we said from the previous week, was found in Psalm 47 in verse 1. And he says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. So praise is our link between our joy in his delivering us from whatever the problems, whatever the troubles that we might have. Nobody here had any adversity? Nobody else in here had any problems when you come along? As a child of God, then we bring these problems to the Lord, and we ask him to guide us. We ask him to direct us. We don't tell him how we want him to do it. Now, you may do that. It just doesn't work out as well. But if you're going through your trials and your tribulations, you're going through moments of adversity, it's always going to say, Lord, I'm not sure which way to go, what to do, what to think. Lord, you guide me. You direct me so that on the other end of this adversity, I will have learned something. I will have been a better witness, and I'll have gained some spiritual ground in my life along the way. And so that's the idea here that we have here, that praise is our link between our joy and God's deliverance, be it answers to our prayer or overcoming a battle or battles in our lives, be it health, finances, marital, just to name a few, but anything that would endeavor to shipwreck us or to cause us to lose that spiritual ground. We want to be able to, through praise, secure it by praising God. And that process. Number two, we said it was praise and admission in verse 2. It says, for the Lord Most High is terrible. Now, that word terrible means he's awesome. Our God's an awesome God, amen? Now, the average child of God will never know that unless they walk with God. Regardless of your problem, like you can moan and groan and complain about all the trials and all the tribulation or the moments of adversity or when things didn't go right for that day. And you can say, Lord, I expected better from you. Well, God's going to turn around and say, well, I expected better from you too. So how's that go? So that's the idea of praise. We give praise to God and we acknowledge that the victories that we have are the victories that God gives to us along the way. So this is about a humble response on our part to the victory or the victories that God gives to you and I. And we do not try to kind of shave off. Now, shave off is an idea that back many decades, maybe a millennium, when they used to deal with silver and gold and stuff like that, where you could shave off a little bit of silver, you could shave off a little bit of gold there and pretend that it was all that it was supposed to be as far as the monetary system goes. And so, but when God gives us the victory, we try to insert ourselves into that, saying, I think I've used the example, and kids in school will use this example a lot of times. And I said, my youngest grandson is down there in Pensacola, going to graduate with Lydia this year, and he'd call and he'd say, email us. A lot of times he'd email us and say, Grammy and Pop, we got a big test coming up here, and I really need your prayers for this. And so at the end of it, when the test is all over and he gets a really good grade, he says, hey, I got an A. Well, no, you didn't get an A. God gave you an A. God enables you to get an A. Let me put it that way. God enables you. See, we try to shave it off a little bit. We want God to do the work and help us in these things here, but we kind of want to divert that and say, look what I got. Well, look what God gave me. Look what God enabled me to get along the way. So that's what the problem we do in many times in our lives. We kind of insert ourselves into the victory that solely God gave to us. And we need to recognize that for the most part. And so we need to make sure that we're giving God all the glory. Always give God the glory. You can never, ever go wrong by giving God the glory. So the third one out of Psalm 47 tonight is praise is a reminder. Psalm 47, 3 through 5. It says, he, that meaning God, shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. So this there is no end, I should say, to the message that people use to help them remember. Amen? What are some of the things you might have used to help yourself remember? Me? Someone says, let's make an appointment, and I tell them now, because when you get a little bit older, you tend to forget a lot of things. And I say, well, if you're going to come on a Thursday, and this is, say, I made an appointment on a Monday, they're going to come on a Thursday for something maybe around the church, hey, call me. Give me a call when you're about 30 minutes away or 30 minutes before you're going to come here so I can slip on down here. And I should have told that to the florist because I wasn't here at 8 o'clock in the morning. Didn't get out here until 9 o'clock. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, so I have to tell people, say, listen, you give me a call. Mark it down. Give me a call that you're going to be here within whatever it is, within 30 minutes or so. And said, I'll be sure to be down there because I will. I get started on something and I... everything has just gone to the wind, and I'm focused on whatever that is at hand. Well, some folks write notes to themselves. They have post-it notes, and they put a note here, a note there, and here, a note there, a note there, a note. My wife, she has this big, long list. Every day she's got this list. She's got little boxes on the side there. And sometimes I'll find that list on my desk with the boxes. Most of those notes are still on my desk, but the box is still there. They're not checked along the way. Well, some folks tie a string around their fingers. If they can remember why they tied it there, I don't know. Some will write on their hand memorize using their fingers. Have you seen anybody do that? They're going to quote a Bible verse, and they've got each finger represents some sort of a word in that verse, and they'll go, for God so loved the world that, you know, I've seen them do that before. And, well, others will use an acrostic such as the word kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. Really? Okay. It means do that. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Well, before these and other tools came along, God gave us a foolproof system for remembering called praise. Called praise. How does this work? Praise reminds us that we have an eternity in verse 3. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. Now, sometimes it doesn't look like God's winning, does it? But we have the book and we have the final chapter. Who wins? God wins. course, he actually won long before the foundations of the earth were ever put in place to begin with. So we know that he has won. So we have to remind ourselves, and regardless of what's going on in Washington, D.C., or what's going on in Montpelier here, or what's going on in Ohio or any other place that we might be there, we have to remind ourselves that, listen, God has said there's going to come a time when he's going to put them under our feet. God's people will be in control. So in this, God is saying that he shall subdue the people and the nations. Now, he's going to do that in the world around us, and he will do so under our feet, according to the Bible. So while it may not be tomorrow, God is reminding us that one day, and that one day may be a whole lot closer than many of us are even aware of, but one day we will reign and rule with him for 1,000 years. So let's not all get bent out of shape and get twisted and all bunched up, if you will. That listen, things may not look like they're going our way, but God has a plan. God has a purpose. And even though we may not see it with what's going on in Washington, D.C., God has a plan. And that wasn't external to God's plan and God's purpose. Now, he allows certain things to happen, hopefully to wise up and to brighten the children of God, if you will, to realize that we better do a lot more than what we are doing and getting the gospel out and seeing more souls saved. That's, you know, about the only way we're going to turn things around. But eventually, regardless of what goes on in Washington, D.C., what's going on anywhere else in the world, we know that God is going to take care of it all. So as God demonstrates his power in delivering us from our problems, he is reminding us that this same power, on a far much larger scale, will happen in the millennium kingdom, where we shall become not just joint heirs with Christ, but we shall become co-rulers with Christ. So why is this so important? Well, God wants us to know that while it seems the bad guys have the upper hand, in the end, the good news is that the good guys win. They always do. They always win. We may lose a foot or two here, may lose a little ground here, lose a little bit there, but ultimately, it's all going to be regained back. So we need to keep our focus, and this is what he's getting at here, is we need to keep our focus, and as we do, praise will be forthcoming. We begin to realize that it doesn't look very good right now, Lord, but I know how it ends, and I'm going to give you praise right now. So another element of praise is that it reminds us that God knows best. Amen? Now, we grew up in a day and age when Father knows best. Anybody remember those that Father knows best? Well, I'm not so sure he always did necessarily, but we do know that our Heavenly Father knows best. So you've heard me say it often, and that is that when we find ourselves in some adverse circumstances, and it may seem like it's very untimely, boy, Lord, you couldn't have picked a worse time to allow this to happen in my life. No. We need to back up and regroup here and say, Lord, you had a purpose and a reason for this right now. This is God's ideal time. We may not think so, but when we have that negative attitude, then we absolutely will miss what it is that God has for us to either learn or to accomplish or to do. So when we say, well, Lord, I never would have imagined this would happen here, but Lord, it has. Here it is. It's on me right now. And so, Lord, you guide me. You direct me. Give me clarity of thought. Give me direction. I want divine wisdom and I want divine knowledge. Lord, I want to get through this thing, and I want you to receive all the honor and all the glory every step of the way, all the way through that. And so we find ourselves being reminded that God allows problems to come into our lives. So as he delivers us, that we discover that he indeed knows what's best. Sometimes it seems like an odd way about getting there, but see, God knows the latter end from the beginning. And because he knows the end from the beginning, he knows how to guide and direct us, and he knows what he wants to accomplish in and through our lives. So be it a problem from Satan or an opportunity from the Lord, it matters very little. What is important is for us to, number one, learn or be reminded that God knows what we need, and he knows when we need it. He'll never be late. He'll never be early. He'll always be on time. But secondly, and when we endure, we will see why God allowed it, what God wanted us to learn. But you have to have that open-mindedness. Say, Lord, you have this ordered in my life right now. You've got something that I need to learn. Lord, I want to be open to it. I want to see it. I want to be able to embrace it and thank the Lord for what it is he's about to teach you. So when we murmur and we complain, we learn little to nothing. And that's why a lot of times as Christians, we go through the same problems again and again and again and again because we don't learn through the first one. And we murmur and we complain all the way through. Well, it didn't help Israel when they murmured and they complained, did it? It didn't get them anywhere. And so when we murmur and complain, we learn little to nothing. But praise opens the mind to the work of God in our lives. We praise God, then God begins to work with us in a different way. So another and very important and last one for tonight, lesson from praise is that it reminds us that God is alive and well. Verse 5, God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. And so we see in verse 5, is gone up or ascended, reminds us that following Christ's crucifixion, a very dark, dark day for the world, but a very bright, bright day for those who come to a saving faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. It reminds us that following his crucifixion, that he ascended up on high, where he intercedes on our behalf. So he is in heaven, not on a vacation. He intercedes on our behalf. And you consider the overall population of the body of Christ, he's busy interceding for a lot of us all the time. So, folks, we have an accuser, and we have to understand that we have an accuser who accuses us to the Heavenly Father. So a lot of people, and I can think back on my life when I think of that, boy, nobody knows what I'm about to do. God knew. And somebody else knows. And that somebody else is not going to let God forget the fact that what I'm doing, or what you're doing, for that matter. And so if we believe that we have sinned in secret, let's be reminded that Satan makes it a point to accuse us before God. Not that God doesn't already know, but it's kind of one of those things, I'm going to rub it in God's face. This is one of your children. Look at your child is doing down there. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10 reminds us that we have an accuser, if you remember that from our Sunday morning Bible studies. But in verse 10, and you can find it again in the Old Testament as well, it says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So Satan's relentless. So is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because we have an advocate as Christ pleads for us in John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, that we're reminded of this. Oops. And it says right there, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. Well, praise God for that. So, you know, John 17. We're going to close with John 17, which is really God, the Lord's prayer for you and I. In the Gospel of John, chapter 17. This is the real Lord's prayer. And it begins in chapter 17, begins in verse 9. It says, I pray for them. These are those who have come to a saving faith in the person of Jesus Christ. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You know what? He already knows who is going to come to know Christ, his own personal Lord and Savior. And it's going to be through us. It's through the children of to sing praises unto our God. Now, he didn't say you had to have a good voice. He didn't say you had to sing it in tenor, soprano, or whatever your voice range might be. But he said, praise And thirdly, in praise, we are linked to a refreshing reality of all that God has blessed us with. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We can't even begin to imagine. I don't know if our minds could handle it. The Apostle Paul caught up into the third heaven. He said he saw things which were unlawful for him. Things he couldn't describe. Things he couldn't explain. Literally could not explain them. And so he has seen some things up there that folks we're going to see one day. And the world keeps going the way it's going. It's going to be a lot sooner than many of us are ready for. So let's make sure we're ready. So anyway, praise. Never cease to. Before you. The minute you begin to murmur. You begin to complain. Oh. Sorry, Lord. I need to praise you. I need to praise you. And it's amazing. Murmuring and complaining didn't get Israel anywhere. Can I tell you something? Your murmuring and complaining is not going to get you anywhere either. Praise will get you. It'll get you to first base anyway. And in time, it's going to get you all the way home. Amen? All right, so we've got... I did put on back on here. I was thinking it was last Friday, but Dr. Guy Goodell from over Glen Falls, Greater Glen Falls Baptist Church, in Glen Falls, he is going in. He has a small lump that's manifested itself in the small intestine area. And they don't know what it is, what's caused it, but it's by the bile duct or whatever it is that he said there. So he's going in, I believe, for some exploratory surgery this coming Friday. So if you remember, continue to remember Dr. Guy Goodell, I appreciate that. Carrie's, this is your brother, right?
Yes.
Haven King, with anything... Just general health issues?
Heart and intestinal.
So they're both serious. Okay, heart and intestinal problem. And of course, we're heading out Friday to Boston, and we leave Logan at 11:20 at night. We get into Istanbul sometime the next morning. We finally get into Ben Gurion. Restless leg syndrome. I'm going to praise the Lord for it. Amen. So, and we'll be back on the 3rd. So let me see, what else did I put down here? We did see the storms. Karen, she texted a picture of the storms that they were down there, and I think Rosa, for the first time, realized that she's back south now. And they have storms down there that'll rock your boat real quick. Yeah, it was the ones that Karen showed, it was just lightning flash, one right after another. So I don't know if they're watching tonight or not, but praying for you down there for sure. And then, of course, Lord, there we just pray that God will give them the wisdom that they need along the way. Certainly want to be praying for Julie and Jeff as they head back to Ohio. It's like a 30-hour trip from here. I tell you what, we do it now. We get as far as Erie, Pennsylvania, and we put in Erie, Pennsylvania for the night. And Exit 24, Krispy Kreme. They've got Golden Corral. All the places I really like in the world, so they're all.
Diabetic's dream stop.
Oh yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah. So anyway, that's usually what we do, and then we put in the Worcester the next day, and so on there. But so anyway, pray for the. Red Scots as they make their way back home. Any other prayer requests, right quickly, then Jack.
Under pregnancy, I want to continue praying for my friend Phyllis.
Okay.
In May, I think the beginning of May. And also I want to pray for my brother Ken. He's got some kind of a lung infection that they've been dealing with for, I think it's like 8 to 10 months, and he's been having shortness of breath, and they've been doing tests trying to figure out why he can't get rid of this infection.
And which brother was that? You say Ken?
My brother Ken.
Okay. So it's health issues anyway.
Yeah.
So. Any other prayer requests here tonight? If not, okay. Well, Jack, why don't you get us going on group number one here tonight? And, Clark, how about these pregnancies? Would you cover these pregnancies? Steve, spiritual needs and salvations, if you cover those. And I'll do the missionaries of the month, group two, and then the pastor of the month is... Brian and Diana Fetcher down in Websterville. I always try to say Woodsville, but it's Websterville. And so I need to pray for them as they, the Christian schools just blossom, boom, with this silly stuff that's going on. And it's not silly, it's terrible stuff that's going on in a lot of public school systems. A lot of people have just said, we're not putting our kids in a public school anymore. And now they're putting them into Christian schools as a result of that. So that brings its own challenges, to be sure. So be much in prayer for them. So, all right, Jack, if you get us going, appreciate it.
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here tonight. We continue to pray for Clark's eyes to remain healthy. We pray for Rosa, and we're thankful she's out of the hospital now. Pray for her heart issues and diabetic issues, and when she has trouble with her foot. And we just pray that you continue to help them with getting set up down there, getting the right doctors and insurances and all the things they need to do when you move like that, and continue to help her with all these medical things, and Brother Jim with his issues that he has settling in there. And we continue to pray for Dan Sharlin and his ministries out of Texas, to get the meetings they need, safety and the finances to continue to spread the gospel over that area. We pray for our leaders in Washington, the president and his family, for their salvation. How desperately we would love to see our leaders be saved and use the word of God to make decisions. So we pray for that. We pray for the governor here, legislators, both the House and the Senate, both in Washington and also here in our little state, that they would start making better decisions by going through a lens of biblical wisdom instead of using the worldly wisdom. And for that, they need to be saved. So we just pray for their salvation. We continue to pray for Mike. All that's going on now, he may be in surgery as we pray, and we just pray for the doctors to have wisdom, for them, for any decisions they have to make, and we just pray for that whole situation. We pray for Robin with her dealing with lung cancer still, and he with her and the doctors, and for Stephen Ross, who's dealing with myasthenia gravis, we help the doctors be a help to him and be on the right medications. And for those scientists that are trying to solve this thing by coming up with some kind of cure, we pray for Richard Phelps, who's also battling cancer still, and we pray that we continue to be with him and his doctors and help them through that. And we pray for T. Blackmore, that's diagnosed with bone marrow cancer, that he be help be with that, help them to get through that. We pray for Haven King with multiple health issues. The pastor thanks trip to Israel. We pray that that will be a great success. Enjoy a lot of enjoyment there. We're so thankful that the mass mandate was dropped just in time for them to leave. We pray they will stay down until they get back. And I'll pass them through, help them to sleep through the trip, so we'll talk to that, and help them to have a great time. And I pray for my brother Ken, and he would, the doctors would be able to help him with his lung issues, and I pray that he'll get saved as well. We thank you for these things. Thank you that we can be here today. In Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the fact that couples are capable of having children. In one sense, the young people coming into the world, already in the world, they are the future church. And we need to support them every which way we can. If you think of Leah and David, Father, expecting a little girl in this month, as a matter of fact, April 22. You think of guest Brian Candy expecting a second baby. You think of Sarah Chase expecting again. You think of Dak Coons, your missionaries who teach, expecting this year. Aspire to gather finances, wisdom, and counseling. Or this abortion thing is wicked beyond belief. We don't know how the millions of babies have been slaughtered on the altar of convenience. I didn't know it was going to happen. I didn't want that kid anyhow. Lord, it's murder, plain and simple. All it is. We don't know of these millions of babies. We may have had a world-class scientist, maybe a cure of cancer, all cancer. We have had a world leader for bringing a degree of peace to the world. We never know. It's just a terrible, terrible way that America has gone, or the state, even wanting to put it onto the state constitution. Yes, that's the wickedness. We think of those seeking an abortion choose to keep the baby or go the adoption route or give those little ones a chance in this life. We never know, as I said, which one of these little ones might be a wonderful person in some way, shape, form, or manner. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
And our gracious Father, once again, as we continue before your throne of grace tonight, Lord, we recognize that Satan and the world and all of the band of fallen angels that went with Satan, Lord, they're bent on nothing but preventing your worship and your praise, bent on preventing spiritual growth. Lord, there are so many that, Lord, have gotten caught up, whether it's in a worldly situation or whether it's circumstances, whatever it might be, or whether they just have not been discipled the way they ought to have been. Lord, their minds have been turned. Either way, whatever the situation, Lord, you know each one of these that we pull up to you by name. You know their situation. You know their need. You know the depth of their spiritual life or the lack thereof. Father, we just hold them up before you this evening to ask that God, your Holy Spirit will work. Father, you have all of the power, Lord, to bring these folks into circumstances that you want to lead them into to show them, Lord, just where they are spiritually and how much they need you. Father, I want you to also give them the faith then to recognize that, Lord, the answer is not in the world. The answer is not in the wisdom of the derived from the world. The answer is not in anything but Jesus Christ. So, Father, we lift up and pray to you tonight on behalf of Elizabeth, Susanna, and Tommy H. We pray for Chris S. and Jason S. and Patty B. and Victoria B. as well. We also pray tonight for Jerry, for Justin, for Edmund, Tracy, and Sam. That we pray for Jordan H. and John M., for Dale, their daughter. We pray for Jacob C., and Keith D., and Andre F. Lord, again, we pray for Chelsea and Emily and Jacob and Brian and Jessica and Lorraine and Zach and Daniel. Father, each of these having recognized and having made a profession of faith at some point, the Lord is just not as close as they perhaps want to be or ought to be. And so, Father, we just pray that you will, Lord, impress upon them their need to come back to you. Lord, you are about a second chance and a third chance, as many chances that we might need until there is no more hope. Because there is no more life, but Father, while there is life, there is hope. So we lift them up to you. But then, Lord, in the other side of things, Satan loves nothing more than to prevent so many from ever coming to know you in the first place. And unfortunately, that is the current situation with so many that we have even on our prayer list tonight. But Father, again, you can gain the victory, you can give them the faith, you can bring them into the circumstances that they need to see. Just how desperate they are for Jesus Christ. Lord, help them understand that Christ is the only answer. And Lord, bring them to that place where they'll act on that faith that you want to give to them to accept Christ as their Savior and as their hope for eternity. Father, we pray again for Walt and Sharon and Todd and Corey. We pray for Austin and Kenny F. and Cindy and Paul and Tyler and his family. We pray for Mark H. and his family and Sheila and her family and Beth and Stephen and Jacob C. We also pray tonight for Patrick, Tim, Kelly, David, Brendan, Grant, Elijah, Ty. We thank you, Tom, and Marsha as well. And hold each one up to you, Lord, in prayer, asking that your Holy Spirit will work in their hearts and in their lives to show them their need for you, that they might accept you in Jesus. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.
And Father, tonight as we continue lifting up our missionaries, we think of the three missionary families that we have focused on for this month of April. Lord, that you'll guide and direct. We think of Brother Joe and Melissa Marshall. Thank you that they have made it safely here to the States. And Lord, we'll be able to see their daughter Brianna walk the aisle as she graduates from college. Lord, as they meet with some of the churches, and Lord, certainly with us as they join us on June 1st, that, Lord, that we'll have a great time of fellowship with them. And Lord, they need to also raise some additional support. We pray that you make that possible for them to get open meetings, that they might be able to share what you've been able to do there in Australia with them. Lord, we think of Brother Tim and Bonnie Myers as well. Lord, we know that they both had some physical issues, especially Bonnie along the way. But Lord, again, with the COVID there, it has really handicapped them from working between Australia and the Samoa Islands as well. And Lord, it's been a real problem for them somewhat, and we pray that as the restrictions become lifted, that they'll be able to get back and hold these Bible studies and then the Bible Institute in Papua New Guinea as well. So Lord, we pray that you guide and direct. And Lord, we think also of Roger and Elizabeth. We're thankful that there's been some good news. There's been some additional people coming to the island that have been interested in the gospel and have gotten saved and, Lord, even baptized there. So we pray that, Lord, all the years that Roger and Liz have put in on the island of Tinian, that, Lord, they'll see fruit from all the years of prayer and sharing the gospel and witnessing and reaching out to meeting needs. And so, Father, guide and direct in all these three missionary families, meet all their needs as you understand and know what they are. Lord, we think of Brother Jim tonight, and Lord, we pray that you'll give him an energy burst that, Lord, will help him to get out and about and to exercise regardless of how difficult it might be since his fall. But, Lord, we pray that you'll guide and direct him. Lord, just give him a good, strong, solid mental attitude towards this, as difficult as it might be. Lord, watch over his health, watch over his eyes as well. Lord, we pray for our college students. Lord, they're coming up on the end of this year, some ready to graduate and go out into the world. And Lord, we just pray that the few remaining weeks that they have there, that Father, you'll open up the windows of heaven. And Lord, the messages that they hear will speak to their hearts. And that Lord, when they step off that campus, they're going to be resolved in their heart and their soul to take what they've learned there and to use it for your honor and to use it for your glory. Lord, help them to study hard, help them remember what they've studied and do well on the test. Lord, we think of our EMT, firemen, police personnel who are out and about in our community. And Lord, many of them put their lives on the line on a day-to-day basis. And Lord, they have no idea that if something should happen to them where they'd spend eternity. And so, Father, we pray that you guide and direct, and that, Lord, when they come across believers that need help along the way, that indeed they will be open to the hearing and the receiving of the gospel. And that, Lord, we'll see many of them, if not all of them, come to know you as their own personal Lord and Savior. Lord, we're so thankful for our live streaming and the effective outreach around the world. And Father, we may have a lot here in our own community, but Lord, we know that we have a much larger community. And Father, we pray that as it extends beyond that, Lord, that believers who have gotten away from you will somehow, by the power of the Holy Spirit, be brought to bear on that, and that, Lord, they'll rededicate their lives once again, get back into the house of the Lord and in the Word of God and serving you. Lord, we also pray for new families to respond to the mail-outs and in general, Lord, the message that we put in there, that, Lord, we know that there's got to be over 8,000 some odd people in this community here, Lord, there's got to be someone who's looking for hope and help. And that, Lord, these letters will come at just the right time, that'll open their hearts and open their eyes, and that, Lord, they will come to visit, and Lord, they will seek help and direction in their lives, whether it's their marriages or whether it's in their own personal lives or their family lives, whatever it might be. Lord, prepare our hearts for that day when, Lord, you're going to point them in the right direction. And then, Lord, for Marty tonight, we pray that you be with her and her eyes to remain stable. We think of Diana tonight dealing with 4-stage cancer. And again, Lord, we're not exactly sure where that is at this point, but, Lord, you do. And so we pray that if she does not know you, that indeed she'll come to know you as someone presents the gospel to her. But, Lord, guide and direct the doctors as they minister to her case. Arden's continued recovery from, again, recent back surgery for her. Lord, it's going to be a long road to hoe for this young lady. And so we pray that you'll guide and direct. And, Lord, not just only in the healing process, but also the saving of the heart. Lord, we think of Lucy and, Lord, almost again coming up on the end of the school year for her. Lord, that'll be a great first year of school for her. And, Lord, we just pray that you'll keep her mind and her heart. Lord, for Lena, she continues with radiation therapy for her cancer as well. Lord, she may seek and use this as an opportunity to be able to share the gospel with the doctors and with the nurses and Lord, maybe others who might be in the same area at the time. And she's got a wonderful testimony in that, Lord. Her testimony will be to the saving of many souls. Lord, we think of the salvation of the owner of the good store, Lord, right smack dab in the middle of the town down there. And Lord, that you'd either close that thing up for a lack of business, or that this individual would get saved and he would close it up himself. But Lord, we pray that you work wonderfully and marvelously there. Lord, for Willie, tonight we know that he is still dealing with some back neck issues from the fall that he had. And Lord, we pray that you'll continue to mend and to heal in this man's life, and that, Lord, he'll be able to get back home with Ruby and the family. Lord, we think of Jim Dowers tonight, the success of a new health program that he is involved in, that, Lord, it will really work wonders and work miracles. But, Lord, we know that man can only do so much, and what man can't do, Lord, that you're more than able to work in his life. Lord, for Marcia Roy, bladder cancer and salvation, we pray that you be with this woman, guiding, directing the doctors and the treatment as well. Lord, we know that you're the great physician, but these things fall out to help us to realize that, Lord, whatever time we might have, We need to make sure of where our eternal destiny is going to be. And Lord, may someone bring her to that saving knowledge of Christ. Lord, for Tammy tonight, both being home at sick and also having troubles with the truck, we pray that you work there and work these things out for your honor and your glory. Lord, we think of our brothers and sisters in Ukraine tonight. Many are believers. Many have escaped the country. We also think of the missionaries and the pastors outside in Poland and some of the other areas around Ukraine that are meeting the needs, both food-wise and clothing-wise and many times housing. Lord, that they'll also be able to share the gospel, and that many of these Ukrainians who might not otherwise have ever heard the gospel will hear the gospel as you gather people together surrounding that country to reach and to touch the human heart with whatever needs they have. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll also be with Brother Brian Fetcher and his wife as they continue the ministry there at Websterville Baptist. Lord, with the increase of the school as well as Trinity, the increase of school there, that, Lord, we realize this can be additional problems, that the people aren't really, who are new coming in, aren't really sold out to serving you. But that, Lord, that they will see the need to come to know you as their own personal Lord and Savior. So, Lord, may this be a good year end of school, but now as they're also taking registrations for the next year, may this next year even be a greater year that through these young people, homes and families will come to a faith in Christ. Now, Father, give traveling mercies. We think of Jeff and Julie and his mom as they head back to Ohio. Give them traveling mercies. And Lord, it was just good to see old friends. And Lord, meet their needs as they do travel. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.